Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Shoving Wilco, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the music of Wilco. I am your host, Todd Rossnagel, and it is great to have you along with us. I want to make sure you are all caught up on Shoving Wilco. We recently had a great conversation with Diane Kyrus. She is the moderator of the Shot in the Arm Facebook group, a group that is for, you guessed it, Wilco fans. We had a great conversation about what it's like to moderate that group, a great conversation about solid sound, and of course, her love affair with the band. In fact, it was on the Shot in the Arm Facebook group that I first heard about our next guest, Ben Dudley. Ben posted about how he was headed to see Wilco for, I think it was the sixth time, in Portland, Oregon, but more importantly, how he is the executive director of a nonprofit called Free Guitars for Kids, and how he had a chance to visit with Nels, Pat, and John about the work that he and Free Guitars for Kids does, supporting kids all across the country who cannot afford instruments on their own. And it is my pleasure to welcome Ben Dudley to the Shoving Wilco podcast. Ben, welcome to the podcast. It is great to have you along with us.
Man, what a treat. Thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.
And you are joining us. I forgot to ask this off before we started recording. You're in Portland?
Portland, Oregon. Yeah, home is, I grew up in Texas, and then I moved to Portland. My wife and I moved out here 13 years ago. Had our kids out here, so I kind of feel like an Oregonian at this point.
Yeah, Oregon and Texas, those states can't be any more different.
Well, there is some cowboys in Oregon on the east side.
Yeah,
you're right. Different points of view for sure.
Well, we mentioned it off the top, Ben, that the name of this podcast is Shoving Wilco, and it originates, of course, from me being guilty so many times of shoving Wilco onto my friends and family. Do you shove Wilco as you are wearing a Wilco t-shirt for this podcast?
I felt like I had to wear my new Wilco t-shirt that I got on the last concert here in Portland. Yes, I am guilty of shoving Wilco. I think just about everybody I talk to when we talk about music, I'm like, and of course you're probably like, you know Wilco, right? Like, come on. I try to make it like they should already know it. Like, it's already should be in their vernacular. My wife has had Wilco shoved down her throat many a times. But the best thing that's happened to me recently is I started playing Wilco in the car a lot as I was getting ready for the concert. And my son, my youngest son, he's 9, he started asking for a certain song. He's like, what's that song, Dad? Can you go back? And I'm like, which song? And he always plays all this like video game music, and it's so fun and goofy and whatever. But there's a part of me that's like, come on, like, this is crazy. What are we listening to? I feel like the old man, you know, like, well, what are you listening to, kid? You know? And he loves, from Star Wars, he loves Random Name Generator. He loves that song, which is, that's such a great song. So, like, for like last month, every day on the way to school, we're listening to Random Name Generator. And then I go on a trip this week, come back, and I'm taking him to school yesterday. And he's like, Dad, let me have your phone. I'm going to put together a playlist. And he starts typing in. And the first song that he plays is You Satellite. That's such a unique pick. Like, you, like, he's going deep, he's going in, like, he's, and so I feel like it's the like super proud dad moment here.
Well, I'm assuming that you've bought him the t-shirt that says Raised on Wilco in the merch store.
I bought him a Wilco t-shirt, no joke, yesterday. It's the one that's got like a rocket on it. It's like a kid's t-shirt. So, but I need to get him the Raised on Wilco. I did get him. I was like, because I was so excited that he's like going deeper into the stuff. I told my wife, I was like, I think I'm going to get Griffin a Wilco t-shirt. And sure enough, I ordered it yesterday.
That's awesome.
That's so good.
Well, if I ask Griffin why he loves Wilco so much, he's going to bring up your name. So let's go back to the originator of this Wilco love affair. Why do you love Wilco so much, Ben? When did your love affair begin? And maybe tell me what album was your entry point?
So I mentioned I'm from Texas, and growing up, I would music in our family kind of came to me from two sources. My dad was a big music fan. He grew up in West Texas, like out on the ranch. I mean, it is deep West Texas, lonely place out there. But then he was the kid that wasn't the cowboy kid. He was buying Chuck Berry records and Rolling Stone records and, you know, playing that stuff. And so I grew up listening to oldies like rock and roll, Beach Boys, and like that. So that was a big part of my growing up and influence was that type of music. But then when I go visit my granddad, he loved music and he always played like the good outlaw country, like Willie and Waylon and, you know, all the good stuff, right? Like that. And so I had this mix always growing up of like what was in my ear was either like Willie or the Beach Boys, you know, and it was like this combo, right? And so as I was growing up and I started playing music and doing, you know, playing guitar, and I did a lot of music in church, through the church. But then, you know, I started looking for bands that I like felt like I had a sound that I liked, you know, and I was in a record store in Austin, Texas, and I was looking for some new music, and on the sound system was Yankee Hotel Foxtrot album. And I just walked up to the guy and was like, "What is this? Like,
what is this?
What is this? This is," and he's like, "Oh, it's the new Wilco." I'm like, I want it. Like, I love that. What is it? How do I get that? And he goes, "Oh, we only have this is our last CD and we're playing it in the store." And I was like, "How much? I'll buy it from you." He's like, "Well," I was like, "No, look, $20. And he's like, "Okay, sure."
You can rely on me, honey. You can combine anything you want.
And I left the store with that album and haven't stopped listening since. Like, I just absolutely fell in love with Wilco, gotten to see him in concert a bunch, and yeah, love it.
That is a fantastic origination story, or as we might say in the theological circles, a great call story.
We'll get to that.
We'll okay. get to that in just yeah, a moment. So I can't remember where I do remember where I was when I first heard about you and your organization. I mentioned it off the top inside the Shot in the Arm Facebook group, but tell us a little bit more about Free Guitars for Kids. What was the idea that the initial idea that sparked the group?
We have three co-founders. One of them is a guy named Terry Esau, and Terry used to be a jingle writer. Wrote songs mm-hmm. for Target and McDonald's and Pepsi and all the stuff. He lived in Minneapolis. And when he kind of got out of that business, he's an avid cyclist and he loves to ride his bike. And he's in a bike club. And he comes home one day from a bike ride and looks in his garage and sees a bunch of bikes that were his kids. He has three daughters. They had grown up. He's like, "I don't need these bikes anymore. I'm going to fix these bikes up and I'm going to give them away to some kids who can't afford it." And then he's like, "That was really cool." And then he asked his bike club, like, "Hey, what if we do the same thing? Like, how many of you have bikes in your garage that your kids don't use anymore?" And so they started doing it. And the next thing you know, they did it citywide in Minneapolis. And the first year, I think they gave away like 5,000 bikes. I mean, it's crazy. And so they started a nonprofit called Free Bikes for Kids. And they do it all over the country. There are 22 different cities giving away over 150,000 bikes. Well, 10 years into it, one of our other co-founders, who is a good friend of Terry's, lives in California, was listening to NPR. And they were just talking about how there's such a decline in music education and how important it is for kids. You know, it helps them with their cognitive skills. It helps them with their math. It helps them with their emotion. I mean, we talk about mental health crisis in our country and kids don't have an outlet and all these things. And so he's listening to that. And then he thought about it and he called up Terry. He said, "Terry, you know that thing you do with bikes where you get people to give their old bikes?" He's like, "Why don't we do that with guitars? Like, how many people do we know that play guitar and have extra guitars that they could spare one? Or how many people do we know that thought they were going to learn to play guitar. It's sitting in their closet collecting dust, and they could probably spare that and give it to us. And so they got it formed, got the paperwork all done right as the pandemic hit. And so they kind of set with the idea for a while. And I had known Terry for a while, so he reached out to me last April, and he's like, hey, any chance you'd want to come help us kind of get this thing off the ground? And I'd been doing nonprofit work for 12 years, and I was ready for a change. And, man, the timing was perfect. And I said, heck yeah, let's go. And we haven't looked back.
Well, I'd like for you to share with our audience the story that you shared with me before we began recording. And I mentioned it off the top that you had a chance to visit with Nels, Pat, and John about the work that you do. For those who follow a Shot in the Arm Facebook group, you may have seen where you were holding a poster.
Yeah.
May not have been the greatest design ever, but it had a message. But you're holding it out there, and all of a sudden, as you're getting ready to go into the show there in Portland, the tour bus pulls up. Take it from there.
I just woke up that day and was like, I got to meet these guys. Because we've had the luck of partnering with some musicians like Corey Wong, Amy Grant, Ron Artis II, to give away guitars. I was like, man, my dream would be to that's give awesome. Away guitars with Wilco. Like, that's so cool. I knew I was going to the concert, so I thought, I'm going to go make a poster and just stand outside the bus. And Wilco helped me give away free guitars to kids, you know, or for kids. And thought, man, that'll be catchy. Like, those guys are cool and nice. Like, they would stop and talk to us. So I pulled, it was a terrible day in Portland. Pouring rain, so I didn't get up and was lazy.
Isn't it always a terrible day in Portland?
that's what we tell people so they don't move here, because it's not.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the secret. But it was that day, and I was like, I knew if I had that idea and I didn't act on it, though, I'd be mad at myself forever. So I finally, about 2 o'clock, wrote on the poster, drove downtown, and literally, like you said, the tour bus was backing in. And I parked my car, and I turn around, and I see Glenn walking in to the place, the concert venue. And I was like, oh, I got to hurry up. And so I start, like, running and almost get hit by cars as I cross the street. And then I see John, and I feel like John probably felt like I was coming to steal his wallet, because I just came in pretty hot, right? And, like, throw this poster up in his face. John, I've been a free guitar for kids. Nice to meet you here. Give guitars. And he's like, oh, gosh, talk to our manager, you know? And it was a little hot, and I knew it was, and I'm not normally like that. And I don't really get awestruck. Like, I'm not like a geek out with famous people kind of guy. I've had a lot of experience around people, and it doesn't bother me. But I just knew I came in a little hot. So once we were able to kind of catch our breath, he was like super generous and talked to me. And I gave him some guitar picks, some free guitars for kids guitar picks. And then I stood there, and the next thing I know, Pat and Nels come out of the tour bus together. And I just got a chance to talk with them and share with them about our vision and thank them for their music. And they shared a little bit about, Nels was talking about some work he's done in Brooklyn, kind of in the same vein of helping kids that don't have the same opportunities or resources to get access to music. And he sounded really excited and interested in partnering with us. So I'm going to try to continue to follow up and see if I can, you know, make some more connections there to get those guys to give some guitars away with us.
Well, you mentioned how learning to play an instrument can benefit a child's development. And you also mentioned, you know, the mental aspect of playing music, being around music, and how music can, in many ways, repair the holes that are in your heart, right? That is very much a thing. It's a thing for people of all ages, but most especially for kids. And I've shared on this podcast how Wilco Music has helped me mentally go through so many pits and valleys in my life. And music really is a balm in many ways, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah. I mean, you said it well. There's so many things, right? Like, if you're happy, you can listen to music. If you're sad, there's sad music, and there's thought-provoking music, and there's heart-wrenching music. And that's, I think, one of the things I love so much about Wilco is it's so beautiful. I mean, it's so beautiful, and yet they can get in there and deconstruct the beauty, tear it apart and make the most chaotic, you know, I mean, it's intentionally like unpleasing to the ear, even though as a Wilco fan, I love it. Right. But like there, it's dissonance. There's the word for it. It's called the dissonant sound, right? Like it's the notes don't lock in to form a chord. They're like, they're not in harmony, right? They're in dissonance. And yet through that battle that they're having, it emerges into, and it creates something that grows out of that. That's so beautiful. And to me, that's so relevant and like relatable to our own lives and our journey, right? Like every day we don't wake up and just have the beauty, but yet we get to go through the struggle to see, like we can choose at what points do we recognize where the beauty is. And sometimes it's through the struggle. Sometimes it's through the joy. Sometimes it's through the different things. But you got to have access to that, you know? You got to be able to tap into those moments. And for me, I've found a lot of that through getting to play guitar and be in groups. And I want other kids to have that same opportunity. I don't want them to miss out on a chance to know themselves better and to find an outlet for dealing with their struggles and their pain.
Inside your head, all you touch turns to lead. You think you might just crawl back in bed. The fortune inside your head. I know you're just a mama's boy. Positively unemployed, so misunderstood. You're so misunderstood.
Well, tell the folks at home, we're of course going to leave a link to your organization in the show notes of this page, and how they can help. Obviously, financial donation will go a long way. I'm sure you get this question a lot. I have guitars at home that I don't play anymore. Can I ship them to you? Like, what's the best way?
Great question. So our website is, it's fg4k.org, and the four is the numeral, so fg4k.org. and yeah, a lot of people ask, so we have been fortunate to partner with all the major guitar companies like Gibson and Fender and, you know, Yamaha and Cordoba and Silvertone. I mean, these guys are all being super generous and working with us, helping us get guitars in kids' hands. And so what we found is for about $100, we can get a brand new kid-friendly guitar into the hands of a kid who couldn't afford it, which is a great price. And that's, I mean, you can't go buy one for that. That's worth playing. And these are good guitars. And so that's super helpful. And then you were asking about the donations, whether like it's cost effective wise, it's probably not cost effective for you to ship, you know, pay $100 to ship me a guitar. But as we grow, we're starting to do guitar drives in different cities where we are collecting. So on December 8th in Austin, Texas, we are holding a concert downtown on South Congress at the Yeti flagship store, the big Yeti. You know, they make coolers and mugs, but they have this huge, cool venue that they can hold concerts. And we're having a Texas alt country artist, Jonathan Teller, is going to play a show, and we're inviting the public to come bring a guitar, come donate a guitar. And the first 100 people get a free Yeti bottle. And we're hoping to collect several hundred that day that we can give out in Austin. And then we're going to do a guitar drive in Las Vegas. This is kind of cool. The month of December, we've partnered with the Punk Rock Museum. And so if you live in Vegas and if you go down and donate a guitar, then you get a free entry into the Punk Rock Museum, which is really cool. And it's like their first year of being open. It's really a neat venue. And so that they're doing a collection for us, and we're going to use those guitars in Clark County there in Vegas to give out to kids. I mean, in the school district there, they have over 4,000 kids that play guitar for class. And we just did a survey. 1,306 of those kids don't have access to a guitar at home or after school or any time other than the one class that they take. So they're not able to get better and practice and learn. And so we want to collect a bunch of guitars and help these kids, you know, further what their passion is.
Well, we're here to help you, and we will leave a link to the website, fg4k.com,
.org.
On the show notes.
Yeah, .org.
.org, yeah. Excuse me.
No, it's
good. .org. We will leave a link to free guitars for kids on the show notes of this page. And Ben, you just mentioned something that sparked something in me. Did you say it was the Punk Rock Museum?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So in one of our early episodes here on the podcast, my co-host Tim Arnold mentioned, you know, we were trying to describe the Wilco sound. And Tim said that in many ways Wilco is a punk rock band because they take a song and they break it apart like you would a bag of ice. They just break it apart and then they put it back together in this glorious and beautiful way. And so that leads me to another aspect of your bio, reason why I wanted to get you here on the show. For 11 years, you worked as a pastor in Florida and Texas. And as you know, I'm in the faith space as well. And I've talked a little bit about the theology of Wilco here on the podcast. So I am willing to bet that you too can see or sense or feel the theology in the music of Wilco.
Oh, 100%. I mean, as a, you know, as a pastor, I learned a while ago to kind of break through the sacred and the secular and just see God's beauty in the world and trying to, you know, find where there's beauty and love. And for me, music is a shining example of God's love. Like, that is love right there. It's an expression of the create. Like, if we're created by a creator and we're created in his image, then I think we're part of our job is to create, and music is the, yeah, is a amazing form of creation.
As Richard Rohr would say, everything belongs.
Yeah. So as I listen to Wilco, it's funny, you know, I'm a I'm a dyslexic pastor, so I have a hard time with, like, I'm like the ultimate practitioner, right? So I'm the guy out doing the work. And so, but I love theology and I love philosophy. But when I listen to music, I really geek out and hear the music more than the lyrics. So I don't have a song lyric for you today to, like, you know, to deconstruct or to talk about. But I think for me, it's more about the music. And I talked a little bit about it earlier about how what I love about Wilco is they take this beautiful thing, some simple three chords, and then they grow it and they expand it and they take you on this journey that's unexpected, and then they go into the messy stuff. You know, they're willing to go into the trenches with you, and they get grimy and mean and loud and aggressive, and they hit weird notes, and when it resolves, it's like it brings you to this, like, this experience, like, it lifts you, and there's something just beautiful to me. So I find God through that journey, because that's what the journey that so many of us are on, right? Like, it's messy and it's grimy and there's hard parts. And that's what I just love so much about Wilco's music. There's times where it's so simple, but then there's a lot of times where it sounds simple, but then I go to play, I'm like, I want to learn that song. And I'm like, holy cow, that is a hard song. There's a lot of chords, weird changes. And so they're able to take something super complex and make it accessible. And I think that's cool too, from a theological standpoint too, is like, you know, when you start talking about theology, you can get pretty deep pretty quick, right? But then there's also a pretty simple message sometimes, too. It's like, God is love.
Yeah, that deconstruction or reconstruction that you mentioned earlier reminds me of really how we're, use the word supposed to read Scripture. I mean, we can all read Scripture for whatever reason we need to read Scripture, but one of the ways to read Scripture is to read it, unpack it, read it again, unpack it again, and all the while you realize that Scripture continues to speak to us in new ways and meets us at the place where we are in the journey of life. And dare I say that the catalog of Wilco has done that for me for 30 years.
Yeah. Even getting ready for this podcast, I was thinking about, you know, I don't remember exactly the language you said, but it was like, which album couldn't live without, and which one would you maybe, you know, get rid of or whatever. And so I've like, kind of going back and like, okay, I haven't listened to this one in a long time. And it's fun to go back. I mean, there's a lot of music. There's a lot of music. And part of me realizes like, gosh, I'm getting old. Like I've been listening to these guys for a long time. When I was in Texas, the church I was at, that's the journey. We worked with college students. So I was at Baylor University and we had about 800 college students coming every Sunday. And that was the place that we wanted to be the church for kids who didn't want to go to church. We wanted to be a safe place to explore a radical message, is kind of what we would say. And we allowed people to really deconstruct and struggle and ask hard questions. And we got a lot of flack from that, but at the same time, it was very authentic and very real. And that's one of the things I really like about Wilco's music. It's really authentic. And it's really real. I mean, Jeff's an amazing, gifted songwriter. I like to think of him as like our generation's Bob Dylan in some ways, you know? Like there's some really thought-provoking things he writes about and challenging things. Well, thanks for having me on. This has been really fun.
Oh, this has been fantastic. So thank you so very much for joining us here on the podcast. Thank you for your incredible work. Free Guitars for Kids is fantastic, and we're here to support you. We're going to leave a link in the show notes of the page.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we need Wilco fans to step up and help us. Like, we need the future Wilco bands, right? Like, where would we be if we didn't have our favorite band, right? Like, if Wilco wasn't around, we would all be missing out. And future generations need that prophetic voice in their life and in their generation to share, to challenge, and to bring hope. And I think we got to make sure that the next prophet and the next voice of the generation gets heard. So help us, help us get guitars to kids.
It's so very, very important. Ben Dudley, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all that you do and continue to do. And of course, thank you for joining us here on the Shoving Wilco podcast.
Cool.
We thank Ben for his time. And if you have the time, be sure to check out their website, Free Guitars for Kids. I'm your host, Todd Rossnagel. It's been great spending time with you. We thank you again for joining us here on the Shoving Wilco podcast. Until next time, have a great day, everyone.